Let me give you all a very warm welcome to the first of our Harvest Thanksgiving services today. You can see that the church is well decorated as you come in through the front porch, and then here tokens of the goodness of God to us each day of our lives. And we come this morning to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So says Acts chapter 14. Let's stand and sing the first of our hymns. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Those hymns you'd wish there was about another 20 verses in it, but it's a great hymn. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, and then shortly after after the opening prayer, Colum is going to come and read Psalm 23, and then the choir is going to sing their first piece, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Thanks for the musicians and the choir for meeting for a number of weeks to practice for today. So opening prayer, and then Colum will read, then the choir will sing their first piece. O God, our loving Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, as we have just sung, that we have come to you today with humble, thankful hearts. We go in and out of our fruit and veg shops, we visit our stores, and we get our fruit and veg, and do we stop and think, Lord, just where does this come from? It is you, O God, that causes it to rain upon the fields and causes the sun to shine upon the same fields, and yet there the seed grows of all different kinds of veg and fruit. And we thank you, O God, for all of these things. And we just pray that we will not be thoughtless or thankless anymore. But we see evidence here in the church of your good hand upon us once again. And we thank you, O God, for the harvest. And we know that the Bible talks about the harvest in a spiritual way, that we can have a personal harvest. The seed that has been sown in our hearts over the years can grow, and we can bear fruit to the glory of God. We can bear the fruit of repentance, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of praise. We pray, Lord, that we shall bear all of these fruits in our lives. How the second coming is pictured as a harvest, when the angels are sent forth to gather God's elect from the four corners of the earth, separating the wheat from the chaff. O God, the harvest is a very solemn theme. And we pray that you will bless us today in our services as we think upon this theme. And bless the one who has come to speak your word. You've laid your word upon his heart for these services today. And bless the word to us, O God. So we just look to you now and pray that you will bless us. Bless those who are listening in to us via the internet. Thank you for them, wherever they might be, whoever they might be. We just pray that you will bless the ministry of your word from this place this day. We know that other harvest services are on throughout the month of October, and we just pray that you'll bless each and every one. And again, Lord, we long for that great and spiritual harvest that shall come. Thank you for the agricultural harvest, but oh, for that spiritual harvest when many shall call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So, Lord, bless us now, we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Psalm 23. And if you have your Bibles with you, then please turn to it and follow as we read God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word.
Thank you.
Watch choir, let's all stand and sing again, Jesus is Lord. I take it as Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. And after we sing this, there's going to be another reading. Thelma is going to come and read Psalm 8. Let's stand and sing.
Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, you who set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honour. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Thank you, Thelma, and thank you to all who have taken part in our services today. I give you a very warm welcome to church this morning. We have visitors this morning. We have those who haven't been here for a while. We have those who are here every Sunday. And so you're all made very welcome. It would be lovely to see you all back again tonight, as we'll be doing the same thing again tonight at 6:30. And then our time of prayer is before that, at 6:30. And thank you for all who helped yesterday to prepare the church for today, and those of you who brought some things along, So that is all a tremendous help. But all this has to be taken down as well. And so tomorrow morning we're in at around 9, half 9 or so. And if you can come along and help, that would be tremendous. And don't forget, for the over 60s, your harvest tea is tomorrow night, harvest dinner, rather, at 5:30. The first of these events was last year, and so I'm sure you're looking forward to that tomorrow again. So have a light lunch and be prepared to come for a nice dinner that will be prepared for you. And thanks again to those who have been asked and who are coming to help in that. Now, the announcements for this incoming week. And first of all, we thank my good friend who's here tonight, or who's here today to speak at our services, Pastor Harold Chambers. Harold was the pastor of Hill Street Baptist for some years ago, and he's been in a few Baptist churches since that, and so we're glad that he will be ministering God's word today. I think this may be his first time in the pulpit here.
Yeah.
So his ministry is now complete. But he's preached in Ballymena Congregational Church. Never mind all the other places, as long as he's been here. And so we look forward to his ministry today. And Harold will be here at our evening service, and the choir will sing again. And we look forward to our evening service. So I've already announced tomorrow, and any help tomorrow morning would be greatly appreciated. And even throughout the day, if there's any distributions to be done, that you could do that as well. Tuesday at 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting and Bible study. And again, it's good to see a good numbers coming out. And as we continue our studies in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Wednesday at 6:30 will be the kids' club. Next Lord's Day then, 11:30, when I will be the speaker, God willing. In about 10 or 12 days' time, it's the 350th anniversary of the birth of the great Bible commentator Matthew Henry. And so I hope to do something on his life, just a profile of his life next week. From time to time we do this, or I do this, just a lesson from church history. I think it's good to remind ourselves of these men and women of the past. And so we will just do something on that next Sunday morning. Time of prayer, 6:10, and then the visit of the Ballymena Christian Male Voice Choir for our evening service. They'll be conducting our evening service, and the observance of the Lord's table will then be after that evening service. Now, these are all the announcements. Sunday school, of course, next Sunday at 10:15. So these are all the announcements, and this, of course, is a gift day, as well as the harvest service, when we give that wee bit extra to the work of the Lord here. So thank you for that. And as the offering is taken up, we're going to keep our seats and sing the great hymn, How Great Thou Art. Let's pray, and then the choir is going to sing a medley. I praise you. Heavenly Father, thank you for each day of our lives. As we looked at the other Sunday morning, you daily load us with benefits. And, O God, we just praise your name this morning for your bountiful hand and all that you give to us. To whom much is given, much will be required. And impress upon us, O God, that one day we shall stand before you, we shall give an account to you. And, O God, will it be a wasted life? We pray, Lord, that we shall live to the glory and to the will of God. And we just pray that you'll bless today our homes, our families, our own lives. You know, Lord, our hearts and minds and our thoughts about these things of God. We pray that they will not just go in one ear and out the other, but they'll sink down into our hearts and minds, that we are accountable to you. We are responsible for what we do with your word that you have given to us. Are we neglecting it? Are we despising it, ignoring it? Or are we reading it, meditating upon it, living it? Oh God, challenge our hearts with these things, we do pray. Those of our fellowship who are unwell at the present time, draw near unto them. Bless them and their families today. May they know the ministry of God. Those in hospital, those in homes, again, Lord, draw near to them. Families that are spending time going up and down to the hospital, keeping a bedside vigil, draw near and bless them, we pray. For around our town and for our land, how we pray, O God, that you'll bless those who are preaching your word today. Encourage them and bless their fellowships. So, Father, continue with us now, we pray, and bless our evening service. We look to you again. Pray for your hand to be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. you, choir and group, and let's all stand and sing. I think it must be one of the favourites in the church here. You're the Word of God, the Father from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. And then our good brother here will open up the Word of God to us and conduct the rest of the service. Let's stand and sing this great piece.
Well, I want to, first of all, today thank you for having me as your visiting preacher. Yes, indeed, this is my first time to preach in the church here, but it's not the first time that I've been in the building. Some years ago after I retired, just a few years ago after I retired, my wife and here, I worshipped here with you on one occasion. So it's nice to be back with you. And I appreciate the invitation to be here and trust that the Lord will bless us together on this your special day. I want to thank the choir. I very much appreciated your contribution to the service this morning. I don't know anything about music, but I appreciate it. And I don't know whether I use the right term or not, but the parts of the harmony I just sat and really enjoyed. So thanks very much indeed to the choir. And then I want to say that when I entered the building this morning, as we would say in my part of the country in South Down, I really got myself into hot water. Well, almost, because as soon as I came through the building, I'm sure like yourselves, I was very impressed with the decorations for the harvest service. And I simply said, oh, the ladies have been busy. And in a chorus, there were about six male voices said, and the men too. So thanks to all who made such a beautiful job. It reminds me actually of my boyhood days when we used to go around all the churches to what we called then the harvest home services. And I used to like to go to one particular church on a Monday night because I'd been there on the Sunday night and I'd eyed out all the nice apples sitting along the windows, and I had probably eyed out the biggest and the reddest and most attractive, because then I would go on Monday night and the ladies then would distribute the apples. They would give you a free for all. You could go and choose whatever apple you wanted, and it was like a rugby scrum to get the biggest, reddest apple. So all of this brings me right back to those days that I'm so thankful I have the memory of. Now, let's turn to God's Word, and we're turning to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, and we're reading from verse 15. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that you may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean animal and every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." So reads God's precious word to us this morning. Let's just bow briefly again in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for this season of the year, and all that it can and does mean to us. And we ask, Father, that as we come this morning now to look into your word, to hear what the Lord would say to us, we ask for your help. We need your help to divide the word of truth, to expound the scriptures. And we pray that as we endeavor so to do, we might know the help of the Spirit of God, so that we might communicate what the Lord would say to us, that we might leave the building today knowing that we were in the presence of God, knowing that God has spoken to us, and that, Father, we'll take that from this service this morning, which will linger in our hearts and in our minds, and where necessary, transform our lives for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, undoubtedly, when we come to the harvest time of the year, we find that our thoughts are turned to be mindful of God's great faithfulness in fulfilling his unfailing promise that we have just read now in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. And what I want to do this morning, if I may, is to take these words of promise in Genesis 8 and couple them with that which we find Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and at verse 19. For there indeed you will find it simply reads, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And I think that when we take the promise of Genesis chapter 8 and the statement of Philippians 4 and 19, we find that herein we have much food for thought. And we combined in these two references, we have great material for our thoughts on this harvest morning. I want us to see this morning, and all that we think about, the widest scope of God's gracious promise. And as well, I want us to find the fullest supply of that which meets our every need in what God says to us. I've been in the course of visitation and talking to friends this year, I've heard the usual annual lament that we all come out with. I'm not getting at the farmers here, incidentally. But what with such a wet summer and such a terrible, terrible early autumn, when you get older, you feel it in your bones. But I've heard people say, I don't know how the farmers are going to get the potatoes out of the ground. I don't know how the farmers are going to do the land is like porridge and so on. And yet we need to remind ourselves that the God who controls all things has made this unfailing promise which he so faithfully fulfills to us. And that truly we can see that God shall supply whatever we have need of yet another year. So the occasion that brings us together today, that of your Harvest Thanksgiving services, I believe help us greatly to focus on this kind of thing. And indeed, as I've already made reference, how that all around us in eloquent display is a very clear reminder of God's continued faithfulness to us another year. That is, of course, what such a day is all about. We're coming, let's bear in mind, not only to focus our attention and to be mindful of God's unfailing faithfulness in fulfilling his promises, but I think that on such a day we need to also combine that with thanksgiving, as indeed we do. Because that's really what we call such a service, a harvest thanksgiving service. Thanksgiving to God for his faithfulness and thanksgiving to God for his ongoing goodness to us. In the main, I want to concentrate on Philippians 4:19. And as we do, I think that there are three very clear things that are presented to us in this statement of the apostles. The first of which is simply the range of God's supply. The range of God's supply. And here it is that I want that we would give very careful attention to how the Apostle Paul here speaks of how God supplies all our needs. I dwelt in thought this morning again afresh on that word, all. And I thought to myself, my, what stupendous, what exceedingly great measure of supply this speaks to my heart of. That God will supply all that I have need of. And I thought, God shall supply not just some of my needs. Why, indeed, God will not only supply most of my needs, but the promise is that God supplies all your needs and all my needs, all our needs. And I think further on that, and I say to myself when I read Psalm 21 and verse 1, I read, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Words which themselves remind us that all things belong to God. And that therefore, everything that we have need of is in his hand, out of which he gives us lovingly all that we have need of. There are two aspects or two areas of God's supply that we might think of. First of all, I want us to think of God's supply in the temporal sense. Out of his goodness toward us, God supplies those things that meet our needs materially. And I thought that if we were to take our needs, that is, all of our needs in each of our lives here collectively, we would, of course, have such a wide variety, because your needs are not the same as mine. And I say again, such a wide variety of needs that would be represented in this company here gathered in God's house this morning. That which would be of immeasurable amount. And yet we're being reminded this morning that the giver of every good and perfect gift, God himself, he meets your need, he meets my need, he meets our needs, all of those needs that are represented here today. All around us in creation, we find that we are very clearly, and we might say continuously, being reminded of God's unfailing faithfulness and unquestionable ability to do this. And when, perhaps more than on harvest time, when we celebrate and give thanks to God for the things that He gives to us, and in particular when we celebrate and give thanks to God for another harvest gathered in another year, we find that here is one who meets all our temporal needs. If we say to our families, if we say to our grandchildren, you know, don't you worry, when that's done, you'll find that there will be more supply to you. And yet here we are, we're in God's care. And here it is that everything that I need in the temporal sense, God has promised to, in unfailing measure, He has promised to show me goodness and kindness and to care for me in supplying my need. Thomas Manton once said, all that God is seen in what God does. And when we think of how that God meets our needs in the temporal sense, when we think of how that God in no measure lacking meets the needs of our lives, we are given to understand the depth of God's love and the measure of God's care that He has for each one of us. Today we acknowledge and we give thanks to God for His supply to us to meet our temporal needs. But then I think that it would be remiss of me if I didn't mention how that God's supply, the range of it, not only reaches into the temporal aspect of life, but how that God's supply meets my spiritual need as well. I want to bring our thoughts back to this word all again. For Paul includes in this great statement that God shall supply all my need, temporal and yes, spiritual. And this is where I get this thought from. This is the whole range. This is the scope of God's supply. And I want to say in this connection that included is that which we most certainly must not fail to note. His supply reaches beyond the temporal. His supply simply goes beyond what we celebrate in the main today. We've got to understand that God meets your need and my need, yes, in the temporal sense, but how that supply to meet our need goes beyond that, to meet man's deepest and to meet man's greatest need, his great spiritual need. Now, in this line of thought that we're at this morning, this, of course, takes us right back to Eden when God's first couple deliberately rebelled and disobeyed God's clear instruction, thereby falling into sin and thereby alienating themselves from God. And we must bear in mind that in that act, the entire race of mankind has been contaminated, has inherited that sinful fallen nature, and that we all stand by nature guilty before a holy God. However, as in Eden, we find that God takes the initiative and has taken the initiative to provide the way for that broken relationship between Himself and all men to be restored, and that God has met that need by providing one to be our Savior, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. One who would come to Calvary to die for us, that we might be redeemed from under the curse of sin. And how that this morning, in grace, He offers us forgiveness, and He promises to meet the need of all who will receive that which is offered. In the course of my ministry over too many years to remember, but I've discovered in talking to men and women of all ages, I've discovered that men and women sometimes, somehow they imagine that their need spiritually is so great. You know, if only you knew the depth of sin that my life is in. If only you realized the things that I've been involved and identified with. If only you knew the reality of my heart, then I wonder would you be as free to say to me, God can meet your need. And it might be that you're in that category this morning. Maybe that's your thinking on this matter. Maybe you look at how that God has supplied in the temporal sense, and you're willing to join with us this morning, and you do join with us in thanksgiving and praise to God for His faithfulness. But when it comes to the spiritual, you seem to stumble at that. You don't seem to be able to get to grips with that. Because you look into your own life, you look into your own heart, you know the reality there, and somehow you exempt yourself from this. I want to say today, and I'm so thankful, that the saving grace of God can and does meet the deepest human need of the human heart. And that's really the message that we proclaim today. When we think about the range of God's supply, yes, we think of the temple, but let's not forget to focus our attention on the spiritual as well, and see that in this statement of Paul's, this is included. My God shall supply all your temporal and your spiritual needs. But what about the resource of God's supply? There's one thing to look at the range. But what about the resource of God's supply? And coming to this point and to these words, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to suggest that we need to pause. And friends, we need to stop this morning. We need to consider what they fully convey to us. You see, it's one thing to read these words and to hear them preached and to have some measure of appreciation. But really, we need to stop. And we really need to give some thought to what God is communicating to us here. For here Paul reminds us that God's supply is in accordance with His infinite riches in glory. That which immediately causes us surely to think of the standard, the quality, and that God's giving is incomparable. Paul's words surely would communicate to us. And our own experience would confirm to us as well that God's gifts meets the greatest need, but is of the highest quality, superior above all we could ever imagine, for He gives out of His glorious riches. My wife has a great saying when she wants me to spend money. I don't know about you men, but I think that my years in Ballymena have really taught me to be careful. Mind you, it's a myth, and I stand by you when I say this, that I think that Ballymena people they're labelled wrongly when it comes to spending money. But you know, I'm a bit of a cheapskate, or whatever you call it. And if I see an article at, say, let's say £50, I would shy away from that, and I would look for something pretty close to it, and I would say, well, you know what, there's something at £25, that'll do me just fine. And then my wife would say, you know something, you only get what you pay for. And she's right. You only get what you pay for. You can be sure that if it is at a drastically different price, the quality is not there. It's not there. It will look well for a while, it will last for a while, but soon it will fade, it will lose its shape, etc., etc. The quality is not there. But you know, when I look at what God supplies out of the resources of His riches in glory, I see that the quality is of the highest standard, for it is that which is in keeping with His highest, greatest of all His gifts, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer penned the words, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He, referring to Christ, could only unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And when we see how that God gave His Son, then we can see that in keeping with that gift, there's such high quality of all His giving toward us. It's incomparable. God's gift never fails. Never falls short of meeting our needs. Because again, and I quote, He gives every good and perfect gift. That's the quality of God's giving. Someone put it like this, and I quote, this loving care, this glorious supply that Paul speaks of, is based on and springs from the merits of Jesus Christ, who Himself is the incomparable one. But Paul also shows us that not only is God's giving incomparable, but God's giving is inexhaustible. Very often we might read in our newspapers of something being offered at perhaps a very special price. But then when we read the small print, it is only offered as long as perhaps the present stocks last, thus indicating for us a limit of resources out of which the particular offer is being made. But when I read of all that God offers me in Christ, when I read what Paul here says, I find that there is no such clause to be found here. For what Paul is saying simply confirms the resources out of which God gives to meet my need is inexhaustible. I like what one writer points out here, that God does not supply all that meets our needs out of His riches, as, for example, a wealthy person might do when donating a monetary gift to some worthy cause out of his vast possessions. But God's supply is according to His riches in glory. So that God's supply is in accordance with His infinite resources. Montgomery Boyce, commenting on this statement of Paul's, he puts it like this: God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and still there will be inexhaustible resources beyond. The words of that lovely old hymn come to my mind: out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. And then the line of the verse goes something like, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full given is only begun. Remember reading a beautiful story about a missionary in India. An American girl had gone to India at the call of God to work amongst people there, bringing the gospel to them. And a friend back home had heard this hymn that I just quoted from. I think it was released, if you like, in the 1940s. And this friend bought the record of this new hymn that had been released and sent it off to the missionary friend in India, not knowing, of course, that at that particular time this girl was feeling so down and so disgusted and so demoralized. She received the record and she put it onto an old record player, but the needle stuck. So that over and over again, all she could hear were the words, He giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth. And here was a lady whose own resources were drying up fast, who didn't know what way to turn, and yet here in the lines of this hymn, she was reminded that God wanted her to experience His unlimited and overflowing provision for her every need. So we have then the range of God's supply. We think about the resource out of which God supplies to meet our needs. But as we come to a conclusion of our study this morning, I wonder, should we not think about the response to God's supply? What should that be, we might ask? Well, of course, on such a day as this, it hardly seems necessary to ask such a question. Simply to quote the psalmist in Psalm 107 at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. So in the light of God's unfailing faithfulness to us, we should be thankful. We live in a world today that is sadly marked and indeed marred by such ingratitude, when so many seem to be so unthankful for the things that they have. But here we're being reminded that this must never be our response. This surely couldn't be the case when we think of what God has given to us. Good to have days like this. Because we do need to be mindful of how the God faithfully supplies. And we need to return our thanks to Almighty God for all that we receive by way of His blessing into our lives. But further allow me to remind our hearts of the psalmist's exhortation. In 103 verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I think there's a spirit of ingratitude that is abroad in the world today. It is not only manifested in one particular age group, but it seems to be widespread right across the age spectrum. And sadly, the reality is that this spirit has eaten its way into the church amongst God's people, and there's so much lack of thankfulness to God for His blessing. I remember reading a very funny story. I hope you appreciate it. I do. But it's a story about an elderly lady who had only two teeth. But this particular elderly lady, she was so thankful that they were upper and lower opposites. She saw the positiveness. She was thankful. At least she could chew with her two teeth. You know, sometimes we need to look at what we have, folks, rather than focusing our attention on what we don't have, but to see what we have, to see what God has really given to us, and thereby to be like this old lady, to be thankful for what we have. But then I believe our response must not only be that we are thankful, but our response to God's unfailing supply, it ought to be trustful. What is your need today, man or woman, a young person? Maybe you're here in God's house today and you have a multiplicity of problems crowding in upon you, weighing heavy upon your heart and mind. And maybe it is that as you look at life, you don't have very much to seemingly encourage you. And you're wondering and you're worrying about, well, where am I going to get this? How am I going to make ends meet and so on? And, well, we all do it. We're familiar with it. And yet this morning, when we look at these words, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can see that what we have need of today and tomorrow and all the way on, God has promised to supply them. And we need to trust Him rather than being fearful and fretful about the future. We need to look to God today, and we need to see in Him the one who really does supply all our needs. Past, yes, thank God for them. Present, enjoy them. And trust Him for all that is yet to come. We've only got to listen to the news today. And I know that there's so much of doom and gloom. But you know, when we look away from these things, from this old world, to look to texts like these that we find in God's Word, to hear what God is saying to us today. My, what a difference that can and does make. It lifts our spirits. It strengthens our faith, our trust in an unfailing God. So on this day, and indeed for all our days, let's take these words with us in our hearts. My God shall supply all my needs. Make it personal. According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray the prayer. Lord, You have given us so much, but give us each one thing more, a thankful and trusting heart. Maybe that's the prayer that we need to pray. When we really think about these words of promise, these words of surety, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now we're going to sing the closing hymn, Bringing in the Sheaves. Just say your praise is really lively and I appreciate it. I'm sure the Lord is pleased too. Father, we thank You for this time of praise and thanksgiving that we have engaged in. And Father, as we give You thanks for the range of Your gracious supply to us, as we contemplate the resource out of which you meet those needs. We pray that we might, Father, respond as we ought, to be so, so thankful. And help us, Father, when we fret and grow fearful about the situation, economic downturn that we find ourselves in, and the unemployment that is so rife today, and little families struggling, and Father, life growing more difficult. Help us, Father, to be more trustful, to trust you at times where we cannot even trace you, knowing that you are a faithful God who will meet our every need. Thank you for the temporal need that you have met. Thank you for the spiritual need that you have met. Help us, Father, to respond to these things as we ought. And now we pray that grace, mercy, and peace might be with us each from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.